Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone. It is the Instant Match Reaction. I'm Paul Machin. I'm joined by Chris Pajak for this one, Liverpool 2 West Ham United 1. Isn't it funny, Chris? I love talking about recency bias because I think it's so fascinating. We were fucking god-awful in that game, and yet the last 15 minutes or so, we made substitutions, played really well, scored one that was disallowed, scored the winner, won the game. David Moyes is a bit upset. Great, and I'm all in on all that. Spring in my step.
If you'd have just said to me, Chris, just join us for the last 15, that would have been sound, because I'd have walked away thinking, what a performance that was by Liverpool. And I think, you know, joking aside, I think Jürgen deserves a lot of credit for that. Mm. And a lot of people might go, well, the flip side of that, Chris, is he got it wrong. But you know what we were talking about. You know what we were talking about earlier on in the first half was you got to tire these lads out, and if you're going to make impact subs, the best time to make them is when they're tired, isn't it? And you know, the change to the formation, going to the 4-2-3-1, and playing Shaqiri in the 10 and Jota, you know, from out wide. Jota was made a massive impact today, and as did Shaqiri. So the substitutions worked perfectly. Now we could see it as the game was going on. That was the area that Liverpool needed to improve upon. Now were we not brave enough, or were we soft? Softening them up, I'm not 100% sure. I don't think we were softening them up for a late charge for the 3 points, but it worked nonetheless.
No, but I think it's all the thing that's always worth paying attention in this regard is that we've been crap playing 4-2-3-1. We've played two games, we've been rubbish, you know. And it's only when we've made some tactical changes later on. The thing is with that, when you're playing against a team that defensively, I think if you play 4-3-3, and Curtis Jones, he can do a little bit more of this. Henderson can do more of this. Gini can do more of this. They all could have had better games. If Thiago was in the midfield three, it's probably not as much of an issue because he's just better. He uses the ball better. It's what do you go to? And you can't really go, if you start a 4-2-3-1 and you're chasing a game and it's not working, all you can really do is swap the elements within there. There's not much more you can do to that. Because if you go back to 4-3-3, you may be taking a body out of the attacking line. And then, you know, in the midfield options we've got, we are a little bit limited because it was Milner, was our other midfielder. So we were kind of limited by what we could do. But as far as options go, you're right, making those changes off the bench, that's brilliant. That shouldn't be underestimated. So I'm seeing lots of comments in the reaction to it saying Shaq and Jota need to start. Actually, maybe eventually, but not now. You know, but at the moment, you've actually got something that's kind of good. Having that as an option off the bench is a very underrated thing to have available.
Well, it's something
to you.
That, you know, last year when we were winning games late and stuff like that, it was just like for like. You know, and it was a bit of a hit and hope shot on with Divock Origi, whether he was going to get something in the area. What you're actually asking the team to do now is almost defend against two formations and plan for two formations against us, because it's all well and good changing it, but actually changing formation, you're actually questioning that team then and there. Are you clever enough to work out what Liverpool are doing now? Yeah. And can you, in your formation, change to stop that? Mm-hmm. And that's what West Ham couldn't do tonight. And it's because of the impact of Shaqiri and Jota. And that goal, man, I will not tire of watching Shaqiri play that pass. Mm-hmm. And it's the second one in a week where he's played a ball. And I'm like, oh, I'll get that on repeat, because that's absolutely class. But it's the willingness from Jota. When Shaqiri picks that ball up, you'll remember this, he stood next to Jota, and Jota gets on his bike straight away, doesn't think, right, I need to get in, I need to get myself in front of the goal, and I need to get on the end of this pass.
What both of those lads did was they increased the bravery in the side tenfold, and we've been saying that was the big complaint all game long, make the passes. But you actually don't just make the passes, you've got to follow the pass up, or someone else has got to follow the passing, and whether that's a ball in behind, you know, running behind, or just get up and around the guy that you're passing the ball to. There was too little of that. Bobby Firmino toiled a little bit, and he's coming off and he's holding it up, but he's getting one touch and he's looking, it's not there. Another touch, not there. And by the time he's touching it for the third time, he's being out-muscled and being knocked off the ball. And Mane had a bit of that as well. But then all of a sudden, I mean, and again, you've got to be careful because you can't overbalance, particularly when you're going for a side like that. West Ham are no mugs. They created a couple of opportunities on the counter, and that's something you've always got to be aware of. You can't just be like, right, from minute one, we're throwing everybody forwards, and particularly when we go a goal down as well. Like, so it's annoying that we've played a bit crap again in the first half of football. But it's hard for me to get wound up about it, because again, look at all the players that we're missing. We've all of our talents in the final third. There was nothing we could have done into a midfield three to make that midfield three any better than it was, really. You could argue Milner might make the midfield three better. You could argue that. I think he's still better than Jones, but I don't think there's massive.
He's not going to link the midfield and attack. And listen, I'm not saying that Jones did it particularly brilliantly today. I think he did an all right job.
Better when he got forward.
Yeah, I think he was. Second half, I think he was a little bit better as well than first half, which is something we've seen a lot of this year as well. I think, you know, for me, what was most encouraging is the fact that we got Trent on the ball more. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I spoke to you the other day and I mentioned this on the player ratings. There was a game only a week ago where he had about 30 passes. He was up in the 90s this time, at over 110 touches. Mm-hmm. That's what you want to see, and there were some great balls from Trent Alexander-Arnold today, and we didn't feel overly reliant on Robbo for once. You know, we were asking questions, both sides were asking asking West Ham to defend sideline to sideline, which creates space, and that ultimately created the space in the middle of the park. Jürgen then makes the changes, and we can take advantage of that space that we've seen all game long.
Yeah.
And we were a little bit braver in playing the ball into the midfielders were braver in playing the passes. Mm-hmm. And it just, everything, the urgency, everything from those two substitutions, everything just stepped up a touch. Yeah. And we just looked much better for it.
It was just like, again, keep coming back to it. Look, because Graeme Souness said a couple of things. He was going on about the Salah penalty, which is, it's a great piece of accentuation from Mohamed Salah, let's say, before we dive into it. But he's a bit upset with Liverpool's overall form, and he's saying Liverpool aren't playing very well and all this kind of stuff.
I want to see us dick teams 4-0.
Absolutely. Completely agree with all that. But I think, considering the situations, there's two lads there. You know, Curtis Jones making his second Premier League start ever. Nat Phillips making his first Premier League start ever. Like, there's two largely untried footballers in your side there, and they're being tasked with breaking down a really good team. And we had loads of other good players around them, but in terms of players who take your game up a notch, we're lacking that. Two-thirds of the team was lacking the ability to make that to be the best version of itself.
The Premier League right
top
now.
Goal scorers in the Premier League
and worst defence right now as well. But no, look, we're top of the Premier League. We've had our goalkeeper missing for a spell already this season. You've got the best centre-half in world football missing. You've got arguably the best midfielder in world football not able to make an impact yet in this side. Yeah. You know, that would be a spine of most teams, and yet we're still able to be up there and to be able to win games. And, you know, we're top of the league. And this is not the best Liverpool side that we can put out yet. And even taking Van Dijk out, we're still not the best Liverpool side that we can put out there. And we've got our centre-forward, our number nine from the last 2 years, 3 years, who's class, not in form, who's not really making an impact. Yeah. But what we have improved on is the bench. Yeah. And the bench is what saved us today, and that's brilliant.
Well, as I said, to my point, there's two lads learning on the job in that team, in a Premier League game of football. Two lads who are learning how to play as a Liverpool in a Liverpool team, but also learning how to play professional football at the highest level. So we're carrying, you know, lads. And Nat Phillips gets man of the match, and I thought he was really good. And Kurt Jones has a fine, you know, an overall okay performance in the midfield, which are all good things. You know, you look at those players who we weren't able to put out on the pitch today, and the Van Dijk thing's the Van Dijk thing, the Fabinho thing in addition to that. But again, for me, it's all midfield.
Naby Keita.
Yeah, exactly. The midfield.
Chamberlain.
Thiago Alcantara. Cantara, Naby Keita, and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. Now, I know we got Thiago on the cheap, but there's like, what, £150 million, really? Probably more if we got Thiago at his proper value.
And they're all our creative midfielders as well.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly that. You know, and that's kind of is what it is. And look, get onto the Salah thing, because it's one of the bigger talking points of the game. because it gets us back into the game. I would be raging at that if it was on, if we were on the receiving end of a player doing that. But here's the thing: I'm a Liverpool fan, and this is a Liverpool channel, and I'm a very, very biased Liverpool person, so I can see things from our perspective. I tend to see things from our perspective first and foremost. I have seen Salah be denied so many stonewall penalties in the last couple of years because he doesn't accentuate the thing. Do I think it's good? I don't think you should have to do that because I don't think it's a good look. And Salah, every now and then, it'll then be, is Salah a bit of diving? It might mean he doesn't get a couple off the back of it, but he's done what a top quality, world-class player does in those situations. I said it in the game, Steven Gerrard used to do that for us all the time. Didier Drogba used to buy free kicks around the penalty area all the time. It was infuriating that a man as big and strong as him used to fall to the floor so readily, but it was such an asset. Suarez was exactly the same. It's all part and parcel of the game. You're in the box, someone's booted you, someone's given you a penalty. They've given Salah a penalty. All he had to do was claim it, and his way of claiming it was a bit over the top. I'm not
cool enough to say it like this, but I hate the game, not the player. You know what I mean? And that's what Salah's had to do, because he doesn't get penalties at all. And you know, for so long we've sat there and witnessed it time and time again. The fact of the matter is, the defender for me gives the penalty because he puts his arm up and he looks over at the referee. And as soon as you're a defender, putting your arms up in the air and looking over at the referee, not going to get the ball, which you are now claiming that you've just won, you've given the referee a decision to make, and he's made it. He's made the easy decision.
They actually made a good point on the Sky analysis after the game where they say, like, he should be screaming at the referee, remonstrating, going, no chance, blah, blah, blah. But he knows. He's kicked Salah, and Salah's gone down.
That's enough
and
for me.
Graham Souness, I did my head in a little bit in the post myself, because he's going on about, like, it's an unnatural movement because the kick of the ankle shouldn't force him to go down like that. But I always say this, and again, I would be quick to judge negatively anyone doing it to Liverpool. And forgive me for being a hypocrite. Don't forgive me for being a hypocrite. I'm the only person that's allowed to be a hypocrite in the whole world. It's just, that's how hypocrisy works, right? It's like, I always talk about, like, the being on your driving test, where you've got to, your guy there next to you is looking for signs that you're doing your mirror signal manoeuvre. You adjust your mirror half an inch further away than you would normally have it, so that you have to crane your head to look at it so they can see that you're doing it. That is Mo Salah going through the appeal process to get a penalty. I don't like that it has to be that way, but of course, look, I can sit here now with Liverpool getting 3 points, and Liverpool are using all of the tools in their armoury there. That is a mark of champions.
Yes.
Shithouse. Liverpool, a football club, for too many years have been too nice. Far too fucking nice.
Mate, we used to win the Fair Play Award every year, and it used to piss me off because we didn't used to win games.
Mm.
You know, and what's more important, you've just got to win. Even when you're playing badly, win.
Winners want to win by hook or by crook. And I don't, again, there's a moral side of me that feels a bit uncomfortable with it all. But I don't, because when it's football, it's a fucking game. It's a game that you have to go out and win. And look, morals...
Know that if the shoe was on the other foot, the striker for West Ham would be doing exactly the
same. This is not like the fucking Tories not wanting to feed children. Like, you know what I mean, which is where your morals should be used. This is a sporting contest where you're trying everything in your power to win. Salah gets a kick, and if he doesn't make a big deal of it, the referee probably says play on. Instead, he wins the penalty, he adds another goal to his goal tally, gets Liverpool back in the game, and sets us up for the win. Diogo Jota, Chris,
is that 3 goals this week?
He's just unbelievable.
The lad just knows where the goal is, mate. And I tell you what, like, we talk about, or I've said already in the play rating show, I've been disappointed with Bobby Firmino this season so far, and I was disappointed with him again tonight. What I'm not disappointed in is Diogo Jota, and he is banging on the door of Jurgen Klopp's office and going, mate, if you're not getting it there, and you can get it with me, and I'll give you something. And I think we're seeing a little bit of better of Mo Salah as well when Diogo Jota's on the pitch. I think his link-up play is brilliant. I mean, 2 carbon copy runs, picks the ball up on the halfway line, drives. But what I love is that, like, that ability to get his body in front of the man. All great attacking players do it, don't they? I think it's such an underrated thing. They just, when they're running in a foot race, they just get the body, and they know that what's going to happen is the defender gives up because he can't go round him, or the defender brings him down, and Liverpool get a free kick. It's a great cross for Mane. Mm-hmm. Mane probably should score when the goal's offside, or whatever it's given the VAR look at it.
Whatever
it's a great cross. Yeah. He does brilliantly to set up Sadio Mane, and then he's there to finish it as well, a couple of yards out. He obviously does brilliantly for his own goal, finish really nice, ball really great, but he is making a big impact for Liverpool right now, and he's looking every bit the £40 million player, if not more already.
100%, and again, it just boils down to it. This is great because, and it's not great that Bobby Firmino's not in form. That's shit, because I'd rather Bobby Firmino be in form, but this is why you have a squad.
Yes.
And we've got that, but in City have had this for years. You know, I'm not
fucking Mahrez off the bench scoring goals.
Right. You know, they bring Sané in. They start a game and Sané wouldn't be in the team, and then they'd bring him in and he'd score, and you'd be like, well, that's just not fair because he's boss. And again, you're right, Mahrez is the perfect example. I mean, in Ferran, I've said it a couple of times recently, Shaqiri's our Mahrez for me. Like, I think Mahrez is better, but he's like that. He's just in that profile where he's clearly a senior age player, but he's never like, he's not going to be the main man for the team anymore. But I love the fact that Jota is our Sané, when Bernardo Silva was good, you know, like that kind of thing. I mean, he's going to score against us next week.
Bernardo Silva was good.
Yeah, remember when Bernardo Silva was really good? I'm sure he'll come back and play really well soon. But but the point is that he's there. He's waiting in the wings. He's an understudy. When you look at Ryan Brewster, you know, not having an impact yet. It's early doors from a Sheffield United, and you look at what Jota's doing. It all makes sense. Divock Origi can't even get on the bench at this point. This is good. It's not good that we've got a player out of form, but it's good that we've got other players who are in form, because that's how we're going to have to do it this year.
Yeah. And we said at the start of the week, look, it's about getting results, isn't it? You know, and that's what Liverpool have done. Klopp has balanced his squad and his first 11s quite well. He's managed to get rest and rotation in for players, and we've still managed to get the wins as well, which is exactly all you can ask for at this time of year. That's the thing. What I think we're forgetting right now is, when you get to Christmas, this is all acceptable stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is all, you've just got to do this over Christmas. Now, what we know this season is, it's all like Christmas all of the time. Uh-huh. And it's going to be incredibly difficult to balance your squad and make sure that people are fit and that they stay fit, yeah, and that you get stuff out of them. That's what Klopp's done really well this week.
It's very, 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 very difficult to win two games of football a week when you play. European football has a massive impact, and that we always talk about this, because when there was four good teams, and that's even more prevalent now, we'd be doing social club on back in the day, and there'd be the one crisis club every week, and it's the team that had lost in the Premier League. No one ever really account the fact that whether they won in the Champions League was irrelevant, because if you lose in the Premier League, that's what all the eyes are on, Sky Sports and the 24-hour news cycle and all that. But it happens all the time. One good club always struggles a little bit at the weekend off the back of European football. We're playing a bit crap, but winning. Now, there's going to come a point where we're going to need to play well and win, because Man City, that's a big game, you know, and hopefully we'll be ready in that regard. But at the minute, given the circumstance, I said this after Sheffield United, I was saying it around the Midtjylland game, just win and win and win and win, and don't lose. And you'd be surprised. And look, I've got the league table here. Liverpool, right now, you know, we're 24 hours away from Everton playing, so slightly less. Top of the table, having gone through all the things that you listed. We're top goal scorers in the league. Yes, we've got the worst defence. We're finally in positivity in terms of the goal difference, of course. But again, this is we've had all these problems before, and it normally means Liverpool finish about seventh. We're having these problems, and so far, it's kind of been the note in the last few games when we're kind of defending us being a bit crap. I can't get too wound up about it at the moment. If we play crap and lose, that's a problem. When we start playing crap and losing, that will be something that really needs to be sorted. At the moment, given the circumstances around it, to be top of the league when, you know, Everton are the best team that they've ever happened, the best team they've ever had, they're absolutely flying, they're having an amazing season, and everyone's going, we're a bit crap, Liverpool aren't playing well, the defence is really shaky, all this and that. Top of the league, lads.
Yeah, top of the league, and then you've got Manchester United still struggling with the best manager in world football after the midweek.
But yeah, you know, obviously you've still got a couple of teams, you've got to play their catch-up games or whatever, and that will be telling in the next few weeks. But yeah, get to that international break. That's set us up that a point at City is a decent point, because we've played our way into this position. That was the kind of, off the back of the Villa thing and off the back of the Everton thing, picking up winning these games that have followed, we needed to beat Sheffield United. We needed to beat West Ham United, because anything else less than that would have been unacceptable. It's a different world. Two big games coming up this week. The Atalanta one, we've played ourselves into a position where we actually don't need to go all out for Atalanta. Again, a point against Atalanta would be an excellent point, which sets us up very nicely for progression in the Champions League. And then, look, if you can go and beat Man City, the league's not won because the league's mad and we could lose all kinds of weird games between now and then. But it might be, that might be a door closed on Manchester City before what we've even got to the Christmas period. We'll have to see.
Absolutely. Right.
Thank you everyone for joining us live, for commenting, for dropping likes on videos and in podcast form, for leaving 5-star reviews. Plenty of ways that you can keep up to date with everything going on around Liverpool. It looks like we're heading into a lockdown too. This time it's personal. if you need some more content, go to theredventv.com and sign up. We've got loads of bingeable content. One thing that's been keeping me going is documentaries on Netflix and all that kind of stuff. We've got a bunch of them available for you guys right now. We've also got a brand new book out. There's loads of stuff that you, whether you want to watch content live, whether you want to watch documentaries, interviews, etc., etc., we've got you covered here. We love you guys very much. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the rest of the weekend's football, which is one thing we can definitely do now. And we'll be back with a final word for YouTube members and subscribers to theredmentv.com on Monday.
The secret to visibly firmer, summer-ready skin is here. Osea's number one best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil, clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and transform dull, dry skin to silky, soft, and unbelievably glowing. Rich yet never greasy, Andaria Algae Body Oil is formulated with sustainably sourced seaweed to help replenish the skin's moisture barrier, and 7 nourishing active botanical oils for results you can see and feel all over. The best part? Its signature scent. A blend of freshly squeezed grapefruit, cypress, and mango mandarin transports you to sun-kissed summer days. This all-natural scent is unforgettable. Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code GLOW.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.